remain standing for prayer this morning. Brother Benson, would you pray for us, please? Man, thank you. You may be seated unless you celebrate a birthday and anniversary this past week. We'd like to recognize you at this time.
Well, amen. It's good to be in the Lord's house today. A few things from the bulletin as we start. First of all, Patch the Pirate's going to be starting on September the 8th. There is a sign-up sheet on the back table, and we need you to get your kids signed up, and then you need to order their books. And so if you could pay for those today, we can get those ordered, and everything will kick off on the 8th as it should. We're going to have next Sunday, we'll have the Hardys with us. Always look forward to have Brother Dave and Miss Grace. And we'll have a brown bag that day also, so it'll be early afternoon service. Ask that you'd plan that way. Looking forward to having the Hardys. And then youth rally will be coming up on the 10th. Brother Jeremiah is going to be preaching. And if you would be in prayer for that evening, that God would just have his hand upon it and use it in the lives of the young people that come. And then we're going to have the Singing Warren family with us on September the 15th. That's a Wednesday night. Ask that you plan to come and be with us for that. Wedding shower the following night for Alyssa Beavers. And then we'll have church work day on September the 18th. Start around 8 o'clock in the morning here. And hope to get a lot of things done. It's amazing how many thousands of dollars we save the church every year just by a couple of work days showing up. And a little elbow grease and using some talents that you might have. And so we'd encourage you to mark that down, plan to be with us. Then the men's recharge, the 24th and 25th, going to have Brother Davison, Brother Wes Stewart, and Brother Chris Dallas preaching. Looking forward to that. Guys, I hope that you're looking forward to being with us at the recharge. From our prayer area, ask that you remember to pray for all these that are listed here. Pray for Brother Zach and Miss Carrie. Good to see her bringing just that one little cane, and she used that to keep Jim in line. She'll probably figure out she'll never want to get rid of it. She can, you know, prod him along that way. But anyhow, it's good to see her just having to use that. Continue to pray for the Gilson family. Friday, things went well there. And so if you would just continue to pray. Pray for Brother Ron, Brother Cole. Rohan there in the Air Force down at Tinker. Pray for Brother Randy Savage and his recovery. And pray for Miss Janet. Visited with Miss Janet on Monday and then again Friday. I guess it was Saturday morning. She told me she went to a neurologist on Thursday and they did an MRI and they believe what's happened to her is that she had a stroke. And so if you would be praying for her and the healing that needs to take place in her life, you know, there's just some things, medicine's okay, you know, and doctors, they're okay, used correctly, but God can only really do a lot that we need. And so please be praying that God would just intercede and work in her body and help her through this process. And then we need to be praying for Sandy Foster. This is Brother Foster's mom. She's going to have a quadruple bypass on Monday. And so tomorrow morning when you get up, if you'd be praying for her, I know they would appreciate your prayers. And so please lift her up before the Lord. We need to pray for Lori Van Dam. The Van Dam's in process moving back. To be with us, and she sold her house, had it on the market one day, and sold. And so the great thing is a military family bought it, and they are in Germany. And so she's got like 6 months to get moved out. And so she's going to come out, be looking at homes, stuff like that. And so if you would just be praying for her, that God would lead her where he wants them. And then I imagine that all of us have been praying for our country this week and pray for our leadership. And pray for our soldiers, especially the families of those that lost soldiers this week. Just so heartbreaking. And we need to lift them up before the Lord and ask God to intercede there for the pain that they're going through at this time. It's good to be in the Lord's house today and have each one of you with us. Lord bless you for being here. I'm going to have Brother Foster come back, lead us in another song. Brother Foster.
We'll take your hymn books once again. Hymn number 127. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. We'll sing the first and the last verses. Hymn number 127. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. You can be dismissed to your Sunday school classes. All right, my class, it's been a while, but we are still in lesson number 6. If you need a handout, we have a few extras in the back. If you'd raise your hand, Brother Potts will get you one. While you're waiting on that, you can be turning in your Bibles to Exodus chapter number 7. All right, this lesson's dealing with the subject of God's game plan. Any good plan is going to be have a good design, have a pattern which we need to follow, and God has a specific plan for us to follow in our lives as we serve Him, and He has specific things He wants done in each of our lives. And He has shown us here, and I believe we can draw some correlation here in what God would have us to do in our lives as we look at the life of Moses and how He chose him and how He gave him a specific message to declare unto Pharaoh as he went in unto him and he spoke the word of the Lord to him. And we need to understand that God wants to work through us. And He has a design. He has a pattern. As anything that's done in this life, we need to have a good plan. If we're going to approach a building project, if you're going to cook something, you need a good plan. You need a recipe. Now, some of you may be so good that you can do that in your head and you come up with that plan. But somewhere there's a plan in mind of how to accomplish the task. And God has a great task for us to accomplish. And He's certainly given us a plan to follow. So let's find ourselves here in Exodus chapter number 7, beginning in verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt, and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt, and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, Take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Thankful that we serve an all-powerful God who is greater than all, greater than anything in this world. And as we look at this portion of Scripture, and we need to understand and draw this correlation that as we look through Scripture, as we look through history, we understand in every generation, God has called upon His men and women to carry out His message. And He wants us to carry the message today into our culture and to our generation. God does not call on the unsaved community to carry out this task, but rather us as saved individuals. We are called to carry out and be faithful in serving the Lord Jesus Christ and the message that He has given us to declare. So that is our task. That is God's plan, His desire, and His design for our life is to carry out this message to the lost generation in which we can have an impact and an influence on. So He starts out His game plan here to Moses and Aaron by giving a command. And we saw this in verses 1 and 2 of our text as he's calling on Moses and Aaron to be the spokesman, to be God's very spokesman to Pharaoh. And while God chooses to use men and women like us, He does not intend for us to do the work ourselves. Aren't you thankful for that? He will work in the listeners' hearts. We simply bring the message. It's God that does the work on the heart. We are simply the spokesperson to declare that truth, to declare that message unto them and see what God can do. Paul understood this very well, as that his power was not found in his speaking ability or in great oratory, but through the Spirit of God, as it is with us today. We have no power in and of ourselves. As we declare the truth of the Word of God, it is up to God and the Holy Spirit of God to work in the hearts of the individuals. So he gives the command to be the spokesman. So the question is before us today, are we willing? Will we be God's spokesman? Will we declare the truth that has been given to us and been preserved for us in the Word of God, that we might declare it to this lost generation? So he gives us the command to be his spokesman, and he also shows us that we are to use his script. As any good design, we have to have well-drawn plans, and God has given us his plan in the divine inspired Word of God. So he says in verse number 2 of our text, unto Moses and to Aaron, thou shalt speak all that I command thee. Now we have defined for us in the 66 books of this Bible what God has commanded for us to say. And we are not to deviate from this book. We are not to add to it or take away from it, but rather declare exactly what it says unto those that God would bring our way. And as he said here in verse number 2, as he's given them what they shall speak, whatever he would command. So God wanted Moses to know that he can take somebody who thinks he's a nobody and help him to tell someone else about God and his message. I'm sure we all have those thoughts of thinking that we couldn't possibly do something great for God, but know this, that it's not up to us, it's up to God. We simply need to be willing. We simply need to obey, and we simply need to submit ourselves to God and allow Him to do a work in our life. So He's given us the call to be the spokesman. He's given us the script in which we are to follow and how we are to approach men and women as we declare the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we look to the Scriptures, and we must understand that we have the same gospel today that the Christians in the early church heard and preached, and we are commanded to take it into our communities. God's plan of deliverance began with a command, as we saw, and it's given to His spokesman and followed by a script. Then secondly, we understand here in our portion of Scripture that God gave a caution. He gave a caution as Moses and Aaron would approach Pharaoh. So we know from the story that Pharaoh's not going to listen on the first request that Moses gives to Pharaoh to let his people go. Moses undoubtedly felt a degree of surprise and bewilderment as he heard this caution from the Lord. But God wanted Moses to learn to rely on His control. And it would do us well as we go through difficult times, as we go through times where we are serving God and following Him and doing all that He wants us to do, that we need to rely on His control rather than how we can persuade a situation or how we can control a situation. So even when faced with Pharaoh's hardened and stubborn heart, God was trying to instill in the heart of Moses that he needed to trust in the Lord, to rely on Him. As we attempt to share the gospel with someone and feel as if they aren't interested or receptive, we need to understand it's not up to us to be faithful based on the response of others, but it's only up to us to obey the command of God. We have been commanded to share the good news. We've been commanded to share God's message. So that brings us up to where we had finished off. We see the hardness of Pharaoh. We saw the help of God, knowing that God is there to help us in this task that He's given us. That brings us to the third area, which we want to start at here today, and brings us to where we were, a confirmation. A confirmation. So He's given us the command. He's given us the caution as we go out. Now we need to understand God's confirmation. The power of God was now going to be seen against the Egyptians' power for the first time. We're going to see the miracle happen here and the miracle take place. And in this confirmation, God gives a repeated instruction. When Moses and Aaron first confronted Pharaoh in Exodus chapter number 5, they failed to show the miracles that God had commanded them to show Pharaoh. In Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, God here commanded, and afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Here we know that God had already told Moses to throw down the rod so it would become a snake. But in the first visit, Moses had not done that. He had not obeyed the Lord in doing this. So God repeated His instructions for how He wanted Moses and Aaron to confront Pharaoh. And we see this now in our text, Exodus chapter 7, verses 8 and 9. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, Take thy rod, and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent." How many of us, you don't have to raise your hand, need instructions repeated sometimes? I think we all do. We all need instructions repeated, especially if it's coming from my wife. I need it repeated several times. I need to understand fully what she's expecting. So God expects some things of us, and it would do us well to pay good attention to what God wants us to do. And here, Moses and Aaron had been given a task, and they failed to accomplish it the first go-around. So now God's repeating the instructions to them for the second go-around. Every Christian knows they're supposed to be a witness and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. But sometimes we fail to do what God would have us to do. However, God's plan is what always works the best. Any of us who have been Christians for a period of time know that God's way is certainly best. So we often need to be reminded of it, just as God reminded Moses of His plan for confronting Pharaoh. So we see the repeated instruction, and I'm thankful that we have a preserved Word of God where we can go to His Word and see that repeated instruction and be reminded again what God expects of us, that our behavior would be that which is pleasing unto Him. So we have the repeated instruction. Next, we see the repeated assurance. So here in our text, when God repeated the instructions to Moses, He also gave him repeated assurance of His faithfulness. So often when we don't heed an instruction, it's because we don't believe God is going to be faithful to what He's called us to do. But we can rest assured that God will be faithful. And as we understand and have trust in God's faithfulness, it will encourage us to carry out the task. In Exodus chapter 7 and verse 9, it says, "And it shall become a serpent." He's giving the truth, and He's giving what will happen, and He's wanting Moses and Aaron to trust in God's Word that it will come to pass. So God reminded Moses that as he was faithful to simply obey God, the miracle would happen and God's power would be proven to Pharaoh. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24, we're reminded of this truth, that faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. We serve a faithful God, a God who will do what He says He will do. So when we ask someone to come to church or we share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with a neighbor, you don't have to feel like you're all alone. Know this, that God has the power. He'll be with you, and when you take the message out, He will do the work in the people's heart. Matthew 28:20 tells us this, that teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And what does He say here? And lo, I am with you. How often? Always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We have a God who is with us at all times, and He wants to work in our lives that we might have an impact and an influence on the culture and this generation in which we live. God will be with you as you obey Him, just as He was with Moses. And if Moses here would do his part in obedience, then God would prove His power through the miracle. So we have God's confirmation in our life. We know that God is going to be faithful. And whatever task He gives us, He will be faithful. Next, we see a commitment. The last thing is a commitment. It was time for Moses and Aaron to go before Pharaoh. The task was at hand. I'm sure they were nervous to do what God had asked them to do, but yet it was time. They were simply conduits for God's strength. They were nothing special, but God would work through them and use a simple rod to display His miraculous power. So as the commitment now is made that they must go before Pharaoh, God wants them to do it in bold obedience. God had given Moses the command, cautioned him about the difficulties, confirmed the calling, and helped and encouraged Moses. God's done everything He can to help Moses in this journey. But at some point, Moses had to fulfill what God had called him to do. He had to approach Pharaoh and do what God told him to do. In verse number 10 of our text, "And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent." So here we know that obeying God took a great deal of faith on the part of Moses. Moses had to walk in before the most powerful leader of that time and throw down a rod on the ground, believing that God would perform what He said He would do, turning that rod into a living snake. And true to His word, God did His part of the work. God turned that rod into a snake, and as God sent Moses, so He has sent you and I today. As members of Shawnee Mission Baptist Temple, we've been commissioned to fulfill God's purpose and His plan for this time and this age that in which we live, that we would fulfill the Great Commission, declaring the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the world around us. So we are called to be faithful in proclaiming this truth. John 20:21 says, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." God has commissioned the local church to go out and declare the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This world needs Jesus so desperately. They're in search of truth. They're in search of peace. They're in search of joy and fulfillment and contentment in their lives. And we see them searching it out in all the wrong places. And they're coming up empty. They're coming up with lives that are unfulfilled. And we have the truth that can fulfill all their greatest need. And that is Jesus Christ. So who will your Pharaoh be this week? Who is God commanding you to go and approach and to talk to and to declare a message of God to them? Is there a neighbor or a boss or a friend who you need to share God's gospel message with? Remember, that's what God has left us here for. We've been left here on this earth to be God's spokesman, to declare this truth, as we've seen here in John 20:21. As God has sent the Lord Jesus Christ into this world, He is also now sending us that we might declare this truth. It doesn't matter how someone may respond to you. It's simply our job to get the message to them. The message and miracle weren't received the way Moses and Aaron probably believed they would be. For just as they were used by God to speak to Pharaoh to lead him to believe in God, so the Egyptian sorcerers were used by Satan to convince Pharaoh to doubt God. In verses 11 and 12 of our text, we see that then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. We see here that when God's power was on display, there was immediate satanic opposition. As Satan attempted to duplicate the miracle of God, and we see this all down through the Bible, as Satan tries to be that replicator, he tries to cast doubt on God and His power by offering substitutes or alternatives to what God has done. And know this, that if you're going to be involved in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and sharing the truth of His message with someone else, we're going to face satanic opposition. This is against what the devil would have us to do. It's against what the devil would seek to accomplish in this world. And he's against you. Spiritual warfare is real, and Satan doesn't want to give up territory or see people one to the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan still works to deceive people through the world, the flesh, and his influence. And might I pause there and just take a moment and consider how people are being deceived and how deceptive the things of this world are and how he's laid out things that people might believe a lie. And it's all around us today. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." It is interesting how something like COVID can turn the hearts of individuals. Casting fear and doubt in the lives of individuals will cause them to do things that they never thought they would do. And we see how the devil can use things in this world to turn the hearts of individuals. But we as Christians must be wise and understand that God has a divine plan. His game plan has not changed. He still has a plan for you and I. And we need to be ever faithful in declaring God's truth, His message, to a world who so desperately is lost and they are blind to the truth of the Word of God. So here in Egypt, we see that there were sorcery and demonism. As Satan sought to exert his power over God, this is why our faith should never be based on signs and wonders alone, but on the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. "For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So we need to be wise to the devil's tactics and understanding that he has the power to duplicate, replicate, or attempt to copy things that God alone can do, which is why we must be so careful to judge everything we see and hear by the truth of the Word of God. The Word of God must be our filter, and we must weigh everything through that filter. Moses exercised bold obedience, yet the counterfeit magicians fought against it. Just as we see here when we try to serve God and when we try to declare the good news of Jesus Christ and advance the gospel, some kind of opposition will come into our lives. But we must determine not to let the devil get the victory. We need to be faithful to the Lord and simply give Him our bold obedience, knowing this, that He will bless it. So we must go in this bold obedience, but not only is it to be bold obedience, knowing that we have the truth, that we have the right message, that we have the right purpose, that we have the right motives. Going in a manner of bold obedience, know this, that it's blessed obedience. Satan's power can never match the power of Almighty God. Our God is the all-powerful, Almighty One. And the snakes and the sorcerers were immediately destroyed by the miraculous snake God had made through Aaron's rod. We see here in our text that Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Wouldn't you love to have been there as God's power was on display and we would have experienced that incredible sight? We don't know how many magicians there were, but as soon as their rods were turned into snakes, Aaron's snake ate them up. And Moses and Aaron had yet another visible reason to say, "That's our God. He has the power to save and to deliver. Look what God did." We have the same God today. I'm reminded of the song that is sung, "That's my God, and I love Him." That's my God. And He's the only one that has the power to save. He's the only one that has the power to deliver. Look at what my God can do. God bless the obedience of His servants, and that's what this is all about. He's calling on you and I today to be obedient, to be faithful, to be purposeful in our lives and doing what God has designed in His game plan for us to do. Yes, there are many hardened hearts in the world, but God can still touch hardened hearts and save souls today because He is more powerful than anything Satan can throw against us. I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded of that. That God is more powerful and His message has a purpose. His message is needed today, and we need to go in that boldness, knowing that we must be obedient to the call of Christ and that we have a message that this world needs to hear. Romans 1:16 says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." We must remember that God is still in the business of changing lives. He still has the same purpose. He still has the same desire. And His reason for sending Jesus Christ to this earth is still the same today. And He wants to redeem that which was lost. He wants to work in the lives of individuals to bring them to a point where they understand they're lost and that they would call on Jesus Christ as their Savior. And the peace that connects them to the Lord Jesus Christ is whether we are willing to declare that message to them. We need to be willing to declare the truth. We must get that word out. And as that word is declared, as we sow that seed, then God can work on the heart and draw them to Jesus Christ. So He's still in this life-changing business. His desire is to deliver souls from bondage, just as His desire was to deliver the children of Israel out of the bondage of the Egyptians. But He needs someone bold enough to step into their world and invite them to hear about someone who can change their lives forever. They need to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to know about what the Lord has done in your life. And then they need to understand what the Lord can do in their life. God blessed Moses' obedience, and He will bless ours as well. So as we consider this portion of Scripture and how God was working in the life of Moses and Aaron, God began this miracle by giving Moses the simple command to speak for Him. How many of us stop at that point, at that simple command that we need to speak for Him? We must determine that we will open our mouth and speak for God. He cautioned Moses that Pharaoh would have a proud heart and reject the message at first. We must understand that there will be those that reject the message. But our duty is to declare the message. Our duty is to show them the truth. Then God confirmed His calling on Moses' life by reminding him that he would not be facing Pharaoh alone. Aren't you thankful that God goes with us? That God is ever with us. He's ever present in our lives. And He wants to display His power through our lives. He wants to work through us in a way that is just miraculous. And He wants us to trust in His power and His power alone to do a work in our lives. So He reminds us of that. He confirms His calling on our lives over and over again by the Word of God and by working through us through the Holy Spirit of God. And God wanted Moses to be settled in this very fact that God would be with him, that he would prove himself faithful as Moses obeyed him. So we have a two-part situation here. As we obey, God proves His faithfulness. If we choose not to obey, then God's not obligated to prove faithfulness. So God is always going to do His part. Are we going to do our part in obeying Him? If the story had ended there, nothing would ever have been accomplished. Even though God had given His promises, the rest of the story depended on Moses doing what God had asked him to do. There's a dependency on us today. Are we going to do what God has asked us to do? Are we going to be faithful to Him? Are we going to declare the gospel truth? Are we going to see what God can do with it in the lives of individuals? Or will we determine to be quiet and hide the message that this world so desperately needs? So God had given His promises, and we know that Moses carried out what God had asked him to do. And when Moses did, God miraculously displayed and established His power in the first meeting with Pharaoh. So as we consider what God did in the life of Moses, we saw God prove Himself to be faithful. He gave him the message. He gave him the game plan. He said, this is the way it's going to play out. Now, you're going to face opposition, but don't let that bother you. Just do what I've asked you to do. Simply obey. So God commands us now to give the gospel. We know that to be true. We know we have clear declaration from God that He wants us to declare His truth in the gospel message. But we must make the commitment to do what He has called us to do. Knowing we can't control the responses of others when we share the gospel, but we can trust that God will use our willingness and bless His work. God's desire still is to redeem the lost. His desire is still to work in our lives that we might declare that truth. So why are we here today? Why do we still have church? Because we believe in that message. We believe in that truth. We want to see God's word go forth that others might be saved. That's what you and I have been left here to do as well. So are you accepting that calling on your life? Are you accepting what God has desired for you, that you would be His spokesman, that you would accept this command to declare God's truth, that you would heed His caution, that there's going to be those that oppose you, that you're going to have opposition of the devil himself against you? Are you going to accept God's confirmation that this is His plan, that He will be with you, that He will comfort you, that He will strengthen you, and understanding that this is His commitment to you as you serve Him, that He will ever be faithful. He will always be by your side, doing the work in the lives of individuals that you cannot do, performing the miracles that we cannot perform. Will you simply obey? Will you follow God's game plan? Now today in our society, and as we look at Christendom, and I use that term loosely, we see many coming up with their own game plan. They're deviating from the Word of God and what God would have us to do, and they're coming up with their own ideas, their own agendas. Might I remind you that we simply need to heed God's game plan? We need to follow His desire, His design, His plan, that we might do the work the way He wants it done, that we might see Him work in a miraculous way in the lives of lost individuals, drawing them to Him that they might be saved. As I believe that our time here is short, we must be busy about the Lord's business. We must not put off till tomorrow what must be done today in declaring God's truth to those who need to hear it, to those that need Jesus Christ in their lives, and they're all around us. May we ever be faithful to follow God's game plan. Heavenly Father, we're thankful today that You have given us a plan to follow. We're thankful that You desire to work in our lives. We're thankful that we have a gospel truth in which we can declare that You saw fit to send Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on Calvary's cross, that through that payment that we have our sin debt canceled because we've trusted in Jesus Christ alone as our Savior. Father, I pray that as we know that message to be true and we're thankful for that truth, we're thankful for salvation in our lives, may we declare it to others. Father, I pray that every one of us will be faithful to be Your spokesman, that we'd be faithful to allow the Holy Spirit of God to empower us to do a work, understanding that You have given us the script, You've given us Your words preserved for us in the Word of God. And Father, You've given us the Holy Spirit to illuminate that Word to us, and to embolden us and to empower us that we might be faithful to declare that truth. And Father, I pray that You would help us to have a great influence and a great impact on the society in which we live, who is so far from God, who is trying to cast God out of every part of their life. May we be the ones to reintroduce them to the Almighty God, that they might come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And Father, I pray that You would just work in our lives. Help us to be faithful to You, as we know that You will ever be faithful to us. We thank You and praise You for all that You've done. Speak again to our hearts in the service to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you have a few moments and we'll meet right back in here at 10:30.